Welcome back to Pop Topic. We're here to discuss the latest news in pop culture for the start of December 2019. I am your host, Quentin, and with me is my co-host, who I believe is dressing up as Baby Yoda himself, Alexander Welling. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing good. You know, ever since Baby Yoda got this fucking insane craze, I figured, why not? I could use some more Baby Yoda in my life.
Yeah, it's the meme of the month, so you might as well represent.
It is definitely the meme of the month. Holy shit.
Yeah, it definitely has not died down since we've last talked about it.
Well, yeah, I feel like every week there's a new meme to keep it alive.
Yeah, Disney really knows how to milk the Yoda.
They know how to meme it up.
I didn't realize Yoda had an udder because they're milking the shit out of him.
They are milking the absolute ball sack out of this.
Whoa. So, speaking of milking the ball sack, what's new going on with your week, Alex?
Nothing super crazy. Just, you know, lots of work, the usual stuff. But I do have something that I think you'll be interested in.
All right. Let's hear it.
You ready to hear this? All right. I ate a bunch of trail mix the other day.
Okay.
Really enjoyed it.
Okay.
And I took a closer look into what was in this trail mix.
Hmm?
Can you take a guess as to what was in this trail mix?
Raisin bran?
There were raisins in this trail mix.
I'm telling you, raisins, the older you get, the better they taste. It's like wine.
I could not believe how much I actually enjoyed this. So kudos to you. You might have something going with this whole raisin bran shit.
I'm telling you. I think I do. I went to Walmart yesterday, and I was thinking about buying a box of raisin bran just to say, fuck you. And I was going to send you a photo of it, but then it wasn't on for a deal, and I wasn't going to spend $5 for raisin bran.
Savage.
But yeah, I'm glad you have turned to the dark side and have accepted raisins. Yeah, it is like the Baby Yoda of the cereal world. Everyone's just obsessed with raisin bran.
Oh, I don't blame him. Raisin bran's a shit, though.
We've suddenly converted Welling.
You have converted me. Unfortunately, this is weird to me.
So, have you been watching any movies this week?
I did end up watching the, the Pet Sematary remake.
Oh, you just watched it for the first time?
Yeah, I just watched it for the first time.
Nice.
And all I'll say is, I think it's better than the old one, but it doesn't do anything special.
Yeah, I've never seen the old one, so I have nothing to compare it to. But it was better and worse than I expected, and I really don't know how to explain that. The premise was way better than I thought it was. I didn't realize what this movie was about, but then the movie was worse than I thought it was. As a whole, I had no idea it was such an amazing premise. I loved it. Yeah, this week has pretty much just been me watching a bunch of movies and going to work. That's pretty much it, essentially. Last week, I watched 3 movies, and then this week, I watched 3 more. I finished The Irishman, so I added that to the list. I watched The Lighthouse for the first time. I watched Hustlers for the first time. And I also watched the amazing live-action Kim Possible for the first time.
I can just tell by the sound of your voice, it was so amazing.
Yeah, if I had to rank the 4, Kim Possible is definitely number 1 on the list.
Definitely number 1, not number 2.
No, definitely not.
Well, at least you found some solace in the fact that you'll never have to see it again.
I remember sitting down yesterday, realizing I have to watch this movie now for a podcast. You guys will understand why in a month and a half. But yeah, so I have to watch the movie. And so I turned to Andrew and I said, hey, Andrew, while we eat this dinner, do you want to watch Kim Possible? And she thought it was the cartoon. She's like, oh yeah, I haven't seen that. Well, okay, sure. So I put on the live action and she looks at me, she goes, what the fuck is this? And I was like, this is Kim Possible, babe. This is the biggest hit of 2019.
This is the shit, man. This is the shit.
She was not having it. She thought that I wanted to watch it. I was explaining it to her that I was told to watch it and I have to. And she's like, no, you just like it because she's a redhead and she's hot. And I was like, Andrew, she's like 12. Even I have my limits for redheads. I have a big thing for redheads, but no, Kim Possible.
You have a limit for redheads?
Well, there's like an age limit, and yeah, she was like 13 or 14, and I was like, no, that's the limit. Yeah, so the whole movie, she was like doing backflips, and Andrew's like, ah, oh, it's whatever, it's Kim Possible. She was low-key jealous at a 14-year-old on a screen.
That doesn't make any sense.
She was pretty sexy, what can I say?
Well, in any case, any other big news coming out of your front?
No, that is pretty much it for this week so far. It's been pretty boring. I've pretty much worked every day. So December really is kind of the start of the award season for films. I never really got into films so much until this year, mostly thanks to this podcast and following the news. So I'm super into this whole award season, and it really kick-started this week. We've had a few awards handed out from like lesser known places. It's really not that big of a deal so far. But we do have some Oscar talk, and by Oscar talk, I mean coming from Adam Sandler, who is threatening to make a film that is so bad on purpose if he isn't the winner of the best male lead for an Oscar.
Yeah, and you know what else is ridiculous?
What?
This demand.
Why? What's so ridiculous about this?
Like, why?
I think this is great.
How can you think this is great? This is so ridiculous.
This is exactly what Adam Sandler should be doing. I think this is brilliant marketing on his part. This is great because Adam Sandler is basically saying, yeah, I'm definitely not going to win against Robert De Niro from The Irishman or Adam Driver from Marriage Story. So what am I going to do? I'm just going to threaten people to create the worst film ever made. Because let's be real, Adam Sandler is threatening to make a film worse than Pixel.
He's threatening to make a film worse than Jack and Jill.
Great, he's threatening to make films worse than what he's already made. He's going to make it extremely bad on purpose.
This is going into I'm having nightmares
I
territory.
think it's going to be great. And just think, if this comes out the same year as the Nicolas Cage movie and the Barney movie, this year just keeps getting better for films.
Okay, you know what? When you talk about it like that, I can agree with that. Yeah, this year might actually be okay if the Nicolas Cage movie comes out at the same time.
Yeah, imagine 2021, we have the trifecta of the Barney movie, the Nicolas Cage movie, and the worst Adam Sandler movie ever created.
I just need all of this, like, no matter what.
I have never wanted someone to lose an Oscar so badly just to see what he will make. I think it's going to be great. This is comedy gold.
I hope he makes a Netflix special about this.
Okay. Adam Sandler, he loses the Oscar. What's his next step? What film can he make that's worse than Jack and Jill and Pixel?
Him literally watching paint dry?
Interesting. I think watching paint dry would just be boring. He wants to make this bad. You don't want to go boring. You want to go bad. So I'm thinking something along the lines of Jack and Jill, where it's himself talking to himself. But we gotta like multiply this. We gotta have like seven Adam Sandlers in a room. Or what is it called? Instead of 12 Angry Men, it's called 12 Angry Sandlers. And it's just 12 Adam Sandlers in a oval-shaped room discussing something.
12 angry Sandlers.
I think that's the route to go. You gotta go bigger. Maybe you can even have a giant Pac-Man break into the room and eat one of the 12 Sandlers.
This is ridiculous, yet awesome at the same time.
Yeah, I really think having multiple Adams, like just increase the Jack and Jill quality and
Adam
just,
squared.
yeah, imagine like just even just four of them at a dinner table instead of just two of them. That's a whole new level of Adam.
I just need all the atoms at this rate.
That's Adam's big threat. I'm very excited. I don't know what Alex is talking about. This is the greatest thing he could have done because he's not going to win normally. Yeah, his best case scenario is to threaten the Oscars and tell them, you guys are going to have to watch my movie because you're the Oscars. You have to watch all the movies and decide what's the best. You will have to sit down. And he'll probably make it super long. He'll probably make it the Irishman length of 3.5 hours of 12 Adam Sandlers. Like, he will get vengeance on the Oscar committee. Like, he's pretty much telling them, give me this win or I will make your life hell in 2021.
He's basically putting the Oscar community through like eye torture.
And you know what? I'm all for it. I think this is a great marketing ploy. I think more people should do this. Nicolas Cage should do this when his movie is out. Threaten them. That's a good way to get wins.
You're just a touch psychotic right now.
No, I just think this is a great strategy on Sandler's part. It's great. Who is really talking about him being an Oscar nominee? And now, right now, during the award season, this is what everyone's talking about. This is the biggest story of the week. No one was mentioning his name before this week. We never mentioned him as a contender.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, and here he is. Now he's on everyone's mind. So there's been two film critics that have announced the winners for themselves. So, nothing too big here. But looking at the past few years, National Board of Review have predicted the Best Picture award that the Oscars will eventually give every year for the last few years. They've always gotten the same winner that the Oscars has given.
Dang.
So they do have the same mindset, roughly, of the Oscars. So especially this one in particular, we'll quickly look over the Atlanta one first, I guess, because I think a few of them are personally very exciting for me. And then we'll get to probably the more likely winners of the Oscars. For the Atlanta Film Critics, they have the top 10 films. They actually have them ranked. What do you think they put as the top 10 films of the year?
Just taking wild guesses in the dark here.
Sure.
This isn't like meant to be like, oh, Avengers is going to get nominations because it's Avengers kind of thing.
Right, this is what you think would be critically acclaimed as the best films of the year.
Okay,
So,
so
spoiler, Endgame is not in the top 10.
yeah. So I'd say The Irishman.
Yes, that is number two.
Okay. Joker's probably in there.
It is not.
What?
I know.
Is Marriage Story in there?
Yes, number three.
Jeez. Won't You Be My Neighbor, that biography movie?
No, but keep that in the back of your mind. We will touch on that movie.
Okay. Oh my God, there's probably a ton that I'm not thinking of. Okay.
If you want, I can list them off for you.
All right, okay. Rocket Man?
Now, you're
No?
thinking of like the older, all the movies are pretty much ones that came out in the last 3 months.
Oh, that's fucking bull. I hate when they do that. Cuz I think Taron Egerton as Elton John should get plenty of looks.
The only nomination I think that film should get is, yeah, best male lead.
Yeah. And then don't even talk to me about Us.
Yeah. We're not gonna talk about that.
Okay. So I got two. I should be able to get more than that.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't gotten three of them.
Okay, this might be like a really big stretch, but Parasite?
Yep, that's number one.
No way.
Yep, that's the big shocker here.
Oh my.
Parasite, a foreign film, was put as the number one film of the year.
That is crazy.
It's mind-boggling. I, as someone that is obsessed with that film, I am ecstatic to see that. Obviously, this is the one that doesn't represent the Oscars. This is just another.
I can't
But
believe
yeah.
that. That's insane.
But just for them to win an award for best film of the year, that's crazy.
That is, wow. Wow, kudos to them. That's fucking incredible.
I was shocked. And that was one of the ones I didn't even think you'd mention. But here, I'll mention the rest of them off for you. So we got number 10 is Apollo 11.
Okay.
Number 9 is Pain and Glory. And then we got number 8, Knives Out. I
Really?
know, it's awesome.
That's
Yeah,
amazing.
I'm excited about that. And then number 7, our boy Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems.
Really?
Yeah. Number 6 is Little Women. Number 5 is 1917. And 4 is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And then you know the other three.
Okay, Little Woman, 1917. How did I not guess Once Upon a Time in
Yeah, I
Hollywood?
was shocked. I thought that would have been one of your first guesses.
And also, can I just point out, 1917 hasn't even come out yet.
No, but like the film critics would have seen them.
Yeah, you are right, because there are reviews already out.
Same with like Little Woman, Uncut Gems, and Pain and Glory. None of these are out yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm surprised Harriet didn't get any interest.
Which movie?
Harriet.
I think the bigger shocks are Joker and pretty much Joker. I thought that'd be top 10.
Yeah, what the fuck? Joker should be at least considered.
All right, well, we'll quickly... is there any, like, memorable other wins that we got here? We got Best Lead Actor going to Adam Driver for Marriage Story.
Like you said.
Yeah, Best Lead Actress going to Renee Zellweger, which I think this one is pretty much a lock, unfortunately, for all the awards. This is probably going to be the Oscars as well. Best Supporting Actor is Brad Pitt. And then Best Supporting Actress is Lauren Dern from Marriage Story as well. And then the Best Ensemble Cast was The Irishman.
Okay.
And then Best Director and Best Screenplay both went to Parasite.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, they got a few wins there. They also got Best Foreign Language Film, obviously. If they got the best film overall, they definitely got Best Foreign.
That still drives me marbles that Parasite did that well.
Yeah, even I am shocked, to be honest with you. Now, National Board of Review has predicted the pretty much the Oscar winners for a lot of these awards almost every year. They have a pretty good track record of kind of having the same mindset of the critics for the Oscars. So I'm going to list off each award, and I want you to tell me what you think the winner is, and I'll tell you what this claims to be the best, and therefore maybe the Oscars. So for the best film, what do you think the best film of the year is?
For the Oscars?
Yeah.
Probably The Irishman or A Marriage Story.
Yeah, and technically it's for the National Board of Review, but people look at this as a prediction for the Oscars, and it is The Irishman.
Ah, okay.
So, Best Director. Who do you think would win Best Director?
Best Director? Honestly, as kind of like a legacy thing, I hope Quentin Tarantino.
Yep, and that's what they put. I think he has a really good shot, too, mostly because he has such a well-known history with film.
Like, God, I really hope it's Quentin Tarantino.
I think he'd be a really good winner. So, for Best Actress.
Best Actress.
Yes.
Oh, Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah, we wish. We'll keep praying, Alex. We're fanboys for life. But Renee Zellweger, pretty much the lock and pick for Judy.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah. Okay, I keep trying to avoid it, but I guess we should get it out of the way. Best Actor. Who do you think wins Best Actor?
Best Actor. Oh, let me guess. Adam Driver.
You were almost right. Adam Sandler.
No, you can't be right. No way.
I am
way.
Being 100% serious with you.
Stop fucking with
and
me.
And this is why I wanted to bring it up. Because Adam Sandler comes out and says, I better win, or else I'm going to torture you guys with the worst movie ever. And then the National Board of Review goes, okay, you win the award. Hopefully the Oscars listens to us. And yeah, obviously that's probably not what happened. But yeah, Adam Sandler won Best Actor for this award.
That is insane.
Yeah, it is.
I'm speechless.
The movie that Adam Sandler is from, Uncut Gems, also won Best Original Screenplay.
Really?
Yeah, so it beat out Parasite, it beat out Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it beat out The Irishman. Oh, no, sorry, no. The Irishman's Best Adapted Screenplay. It beat out Marriage Story, I'm pretty sure. I don't think Marriage Story wasn't adapted. Yeah, so it beat out all these big screenplays. Nope, Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems.
Now, Best Adapted Screenplay goes to Irishman. Best Foreign Film goes to Parasite. Best Supporting Actor, Brad Pitt. All the kind of assumed ones. We can go to some of the more interesting ones. Best Ensemble. What movie do you think won that?
Best Ensemble. The Irishman.
Knives Out.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is a good ensemble. So
which I agree with. I think if Knives Out deserves to win an award, it's that one.
That is a good one.
And finally, Best Animated Feature. Who do you think wins this one?
Best Animated Feature?
Yep.
Frozen 2?
How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World.
Okay, you know what? That's a good movie.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't seen Frozen 2, so I can't weigh in on that. But of all the animated features I have seen, I think How to Train Your Dragon should win.
It is a really good series.
I really liked it. And the other two never won. I think this would be a great way to wrap up the trilogy, to give them the win. I'm very pro How to Train Your Dragon, and I think it's going to be Frozen 2 or Toy Story 4, but if these awards gave it to this one, maybe it has a chance.
Mm-hmm.
One can only hope. The biggest takeaways from all these award winner announcements over the last week is there's really five big Oscar takeaways to let us know, okay, if you're going to take away from these award winners and how that's going to connect to the Oscars, these are the five big things to know going into the Oscars. And I think a lot of these are pretty accurate. First one is The Irishman is your front runner, which goes without saying.
Yeah.
I was surprised Robert De Niro didn't win lead and instead Adam Sandler did. But yeah, it won, what, best adapted screenplay and best picture, which are two huge awards. So makes sense that that is the front runner. And here's the next one. I'm telling you, Alex, this whole week is the week of Adam Sandler. The next big takeaway is Uncut Gems and Adam Sandler are real players in this. They have a real chance at winning and definitely being nominated.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, all came out of this week. Nobody considered Uncut Gems or Adam Sandler as real players in this, or at least I never considered it. But no, apparently they are 100% in the running, not to be nominated, but to win, potentially. This is insane.
Well, you know what we need to do now?
I need to watch Uncut Gems.
I need to watch Uncut Gems.
Oh, yeah, it's not out yet. I was going to watch it this week and let you know my thoughts on it, but it's not out yet. So
when does it come out?
It comes out in a week.
I really need to see this movie. Please tell me it's a Netflix release.
No, it's definitely not. It's actually an A24 film from the looks of what I'm looking at here.
Really?
So that actually gets me really excited now.
The same people that make those, you know, really nice horror movies.
Yeah, the same people that made Lighthouse and The Farewell this year.
And Midsommar.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. And Midsommar and Pain and Glory. Well, pretty much the people that made all the great films this year.
Mm-hmm.
Waves as well. So the third big one, and we're coming back to The Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and that is Bombshell and A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood can start packing. People thought they were contenders to win a bunch of awards, but neither of them were mentioned at all in any of these award winners.
What the hell is Bombshell?
It's coming out the third week of December, so it's not out yet either, but a lot of the critics going in really thought that Bombshell was going to win Best Supporting Actress and be the only contender against Judy for Best Lead Actress. They really thought they were going to get those two awards, and they thought it was going to be nominated for Best Picture, but it looks like it's not anymore. On the flip side, good news for you, Alex. Knives Out and Richard Jewell, if you're a fan of those, you can start getting excited. They're both probably going to win maybe one Oscar, and they'll be nominated for a few. That's the prediction.
Yeah, I've heard good things about Richard Jewell. I know my girlfriend really wants to see it.
That's funny because my girlfriend really wants to see it. So it's funny that you said that. Yeah, I'm definitely watching this with her. She's very excited for it.
I have a feeling they're going to get the idea to put together a double date of some sort.
Yeah, I'll do a double date for Richard Jewell. I got no issue with that.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Hey, any double date that involves watching a movie from 2019, I'm down for it because I'm trying to watch as many as possible.
Exactly, same here.
That's the way I look at it. But yeah, so they are getting a lot of hype at this point. Okay, and then the last one here is the big four names, and they're really the front runners, and they're saying place your bets on Renee Zellweger for Best Female Lead, Adam Driver for Best Male Lead, Brad Pitt for Best Supporting Male, and Laura Dern for Best Supporting Female. So even though Adam Sandler is getting all this hype and all these awards now, apparently, according to this, if you're going to put your money down, put him on these four, because they're really the front runners for these awards.
Hmm.
I don't know. I do agree with the Brad Pitt, though. I think Brad Pitt should win Best Supporting.
Oh, yeah. Brad Pitt definitely should win Best Supporting.
I don't hate Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but he was, without a doubt, the greatest part about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You watched that movie?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
It's a good movie. So, yeah, So those are really the updates for the awards. We'll wait a few weeks. I think we'll wait till, well, we'll talk about the Golden Globe nominees next week, and then I think we'll wait till the Oscar nominees. I think that's what I'll probably do. Another big bummer for me personally is I thought JoJo would get a lot of hype, but it's gotten none based on these ones. And my last hope is Golden Globes. The Jojo Rabbit might be really well perceived for the Golden Globes, so we'll see there.
Oh yeah, Jojo Rabbit hasn't received much.
No. But Golden Globes does it differently, where instead of just Best Picture, it goes Best Drama and Best Comedy. So if Jojo Rabbit isn't competing against The Irishman and Marriage Story, then it might have a chance. So let's move on to a few of the funnier, goofy stories on the side here. Have you heard of Al Roker versus the Butterman on the Thanksgiving parade?
No, I have not.
So Al Roker, he's walking along the parade, you know, talking on the news, kind of talking about what's going on in the parade. And this guy in a butter outfit chases him pretty much for quite a while. He chases him for quite a long time down the parade.
Okay.
Yeah, it pretty much just went viral. Everyone loved the Butterman. They thought he was hilarious. Al Roker kind of lost his cool a little bit. I don't think he's a big fan of the Butterman. He pushed him a few times. Kept telling the Butterman to get lost. Now people are telling the Butterman he needs to come back next Thanksgiving and continue the tradition of bugging Al Roker.
Yeah, I mean, go for it.
I want to know, I like to think Al Roker will have like a SWAT team with him next Thanksgiving to protect him from the Butterman.
All the protection from the Butterman.
Yeah, and you know, once Butterman became viral, beloved icon of the week, Al Roker then came out and was like, oh, I was just teasing, I love the Butterman. You know, trying to save face. We know the truth, Al Roker. We know you don't like the Butterman. The guy in the outfit, he's great. I don't think he's released his name because he just wants to be known as the Butterman.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. And he didn't even plan to be dressed up in a butter outfit. He, at the start of the parade, he was like, all right, so I'm doing the parade. What am I supposed to do? And they just gave him the outfit and they said, all right, you're going to dress up as a bar of butter.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he just went with it.
I mean, why not?
Speaking of wearing funky costumes, Guy Fieri has released a photo of him dressed up as Baby Yoda.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Now, I'm pretty sure it was just CGI'd and fixed up. Obviously, it wasn't like he put on like a full-on outfit, but it looks pretty freaking weird. Baby Yoda went from being super cute to the mayor of Flavortown pretty quickly.
I mean, I like the mayor of Flavortown.
Don't get me wrong. I love the mayor of Flavortown. And we talked about Guy Fieri, what, during Halloween when he made a contest for who dressed the most like him?
Yeah, something like that.
He is nailing it with his PR here. I think Guy Fieri is staring into the curb, like I said, during Halloween. He's going, okay, you guys like dressing up like me for Halloween? Let's do it. You guys like Baby Yoda? Look at me, I'm Baby Yoda. He's just appealing to the masses. He's just going along for the ride, being a total weirdo. And I love it. I think this is exactly what someone like Guy Fieri should do.
He's Baby Yoda, motherfucker.
Nicolas Cage has to start doing this, especially because he has a Nick Cage movie coming out. He's got to start looking like Baby Yoda and stuff.
Yeah, I'd buy it. I mean, you can't go wrong with Nick Cage looking like Baby Yoda.
When I was reading the story, it just clicked to me. I don't know why it occurred to me this late. I should have known this 2-3 weeks ago. But oh my god, Apple TV is just completely irrelevant now.
Really? You think so?
It's just funny to me how Disney Plus says, oh yeah, we're going to provide you with all of this stuff from the past, all of our archived things from the last, what, like 5-6 decades. And Apple TV is like, okay, we don't got anything from the past, but we're going to provide you with top quality new original content. But the one original content everyone's talking about is Mandalorian, which is Disney. Like, the one thing that Apple had was, we got new original content that is superior to everyone else. And Disney Plus's original content is better than what they got. Disney has like everything over them.
Yeah, that is true. Haha, we're the best, fuck you.
Don't get me wrong, I'm a bit behind on the morning show, but I still love that show. to me, I kind of like it more than Mandalorian, hot take. But as a whole, Mandalorian is just
Whoa, you're
huge.
triggering people.
Yeah, probably. Once again, I'm just not a big Star Wars guy. But the Mandalorian, there's no denying it. This is like one of the biggest shows of the year. It's just a streaming service show. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, it's fucking nuts.
Finally, the last big story that I think we have here is we got the best songs of the decade. I've been trying to keep my eye out for these, and this is the first one. It was announced by Spotify, the biggest things in music of the decade. And over the course of December, I want to look, keep my eye out, see if we can find out other big stuff of the decade, kind of celebrate the wrap up of 2019, because it's kind of a big deal. There's only a few of these. I believe there's only three here. But Alex, who do you think was the most streamed male artist of the decade? Now, I can give you the four options, but do you want to see if you can guess it first without any options?
Male artist.
Male artist.
Shawn Mendes.
No. I'll be honest with you, I've never heard of him. I've heard of these four.
Okay,
So.
no, I got more guesses. I'm really good at this stuff.
Okay.
Post Malone.
No, but he is one of the nominations.
Okay. Lil Nas X.
No.
Okay, I got this. I got this. I
This is
got
of
this.
the decade, so from
Oh,
20.
of the decade.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Justin Bieber.
No.
For males, really?
Well, yeah, because Justin's a girl, right?
Okay, fair enough. Does like a band count? Because I kind of want to say
No.
Maroon 5.
No.
I normally am really, really good at this. Okay, give me the rest, and
I'll be honest with you, I got on my first try.
I'm gonna hate myself.
All right, so the options are Drake, Ed Sheeran, Post Malone, or Eminem.
How did I miss all of these? Yeah, I want to punch myself in the face now. That is embarrassing.
All right, so who do you think the winner is?
Probably Drake.
You got it. Yeah, Drake was the winner.
Well, that doesn't surprise
All
me.
right, who do you think was the most listened to female artist of the decade?
Oh, Taylor Swift.
No, I thought Taylor Swift too, but no.
Beyonce.
Nope, but another nominee. You're listing off all the nominees here.
Lady Gaga.
No, she wasn't even a nominee.
Well, that's just robbed goddess. Females, females, females. Oh, Ariana Grande.
Yep, that was her.
Yeah.
Which really blew my mind, to be honest with you.
Yeah, she's really only been popular for about 3, 4 years. I mean, you're talking about a decade,
Yeah,
like.
that's what I was thinking. All right, so what is the most listened to song of the decade?
The most listened to song of the decade?
Yeah, what's the biggest song out of
Oh my
10 years?
God, that's ridiculous to guess.
Want to hear something crazy?
What?
I got it right only because out of the four options, I only knew one of them.
Okay.
You could try and guess without the nominations. I'm pretty sure once they give them to you, you'll know which one it is.
Thank You Next by Ariana Grande.
No.
No.
I've heard of that
Okay.
though. That's a good song.
Sorry by Justin Bieber.
No.
No. I really is one of the nominations Thrift Shop?
No. One of the
Okay.
nominations is Adam Sandler for some reason.
What, really?
No, I'm kidding. I'm just because he's nominated for everything now, apparently.
Okay, just because it was such a really popular song, Old Town Road.
Oh my gosh, no.
Okay, it just broke a record for the most consecutive weeks on the top 100 list. So I
No,
mean,
I'm not saying it's not huge. I'm just saying it doesn't have enough time for it to.
okay, Thinking Out Loud by Ed Sheeran.
No. Do you want me to list them off?
It's Shape of You, Ed Sheeran. Is that
Oh,
one of them?
there it is. That's the winner. Shape of You.
Oh, that's the winner. Okay, what were the other three?
One Dance by Drake, Rockstar by 21 Savage and Post Malone, and then Closer.
And cl really?
Yep.
I've heard of all those songs, but I think all four of them should not be in that list.
I've only heard of Shape of You, but I also don't listen to music because I don't like music. That's it. The Spotify didn't give out that much information. They also gave the most popular artists or most popular artists or albums or singers of 2019, but like, who cares about that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, really, who really cares about that? Come on.
Yeah. We're only here to talk about the decade, the big 10. So hopefully next week we can find another decade story. I kind of like to look at the whole 10 years all wrapped up in a neat little bow. Then we can move on to 2020. That is it for the stories for this week. It was mostly about films. Alex, anything new going on with sports?
Well, in a very rarity, because it's rare, there's nothing crazy new going on with sports. I mean, my prediction last week about the Bill Peters effect is happening. In case you don't remember from last week, Bill Peters got fired from his job as head coach because allegations came out of him being, you know, a bad person. So, in any case, two other coaches of recent name value actually just had allegations thrown against them this past week. So it's the Me Too movement of NHL hockey coaches, like I predicted, and it's, I don't know why it's bugging me.
Yeah, it makes sense that it kind of started a chain reaction similar to the Me Too movement. So it makes sense to me.
It's just, for some reason, it just bugs me sometimes.
Why does it bug you?
I don't know. I grew up in an environment with, like, coaches and whatnot, and I just think there's a better way of handling things. What people don't understand is, unless you've played for a team and been in a locker room, you can't really understand how intense things can get sometimes. Yes, some of the stuff is completely uncalled for, what they're reporting, but if you were to step into a locker room and actually see what goes on, it's not that out of the ordinary. That's just my opinion on it, and of course my opinion's always stupid, so.
Well, there you have it. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first, folks. I am le stupid.
Yeah, well, my opinions are stupid too. If you want to listen to some more stupid opinions from us, you can follow us on poptopic_pod. And if I don't get nominated for best podcast host, I'm going to release the worst podcast you have ever listened to. I'm Quentin.
And I'm Alex, and I kind of want to really hear this podcast to see how bad you can make it.
All right, well, see ya.
See ya.